Amen. All right, take your Bible. You have it open to the book of Job. And, you know, we're going to look at a few verses here. And I think a lot of people misunderstand the book of Job. Okay, so Job, if you think about the book of Job, Job has this terrible tragedy happen to him. I think we would all agree that it would be difficult to lose everything that you have on a single day. And then to lose all of your children and have 10 caskets in front of you. And then after that, to lose your health and have... I don't think, humanly speaking, you can have something worse happen to you as what Job did. But the part we read about of the conversation between God and Satan, Job never heard that. So Job has these bad things happen to him, and he doesn't understand why. He doesn't understand what is going on. And that is how it is with us. Many times when the bad things happen to us, the thing that we wrestle with the most is, what is the reason this happened? I want you to look at some of Job's confusion. Most of the book of Job is Job trying to work this out. And Job wrestling with and struggling with questions like, what did I do to deserve this? God, why are you angry with me? God, what are you doing to me? I wish you had written a book. I wish my words were in a book. Those are two wishes that he got. Isn't that a blessing? Now we have a book so we can read it and understand. Job didn't. But many of us face these questions without a book, without any understanding, and we respond to the tragedies the same way Job does, in confusion. Look at some of Job's questions. Look at some of his wrestling, his confusion. Look at Job chapter 6 and verse 4. Job said this, "The arrows of the Almighty are within me." This pain, God is shooting at me. Job 9:17, he said, "He breaketh me with a tempest." God is breaking me. He talks about being terrified of God. He said, "He multiplieth my wounds without a cause." What did I do to deserve this? He says in chapter 10 and verse 2, "I will say unto God, don't condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me." He said, "God, what is your argument with me? What do you have against me?" Job chapter 10 and verse 16 through 17, he said, "It increaseth," talking about God, "thou huntest me as a fierce lion. Thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Your strength is so great, there's nothing I can do to fight back. There's nothing I can do. You renew your witness against me, increase your indignation upon me. Changes in war are against me." 13:24. "You hide your face from me and hold me for your enemy." 16 and 9. "God, he teareth me in his wrath. Who hateth me?" There was a point in this struggle where Job believed that God hated him. There was a point in this struggle where this stuff was going on, and he thought that God was gnashing upon me with his teeth. He thought God was his enemy. "My enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me." Job chapter 19, he said, "He has stripped me of my glory. I don't even have dignity to walk around and take the crown from my head. He destroyeth me on every side. I am gone, and my hope hath he removed like a tree. He said, I am hopeless. I am desperate. And that was Job's confusion. And whenever I am reading the book of Job, I always want to say to Job, I wish I could just tell you what God thought about you. I wish you could have seen what was really going on. Job didn't have that advantage, but we do. Job didn't. He was left blind, without a book, without information, without understanding. And humans would try to give him a reason. Job, you really deserve this. You're a really terrible person. You, this is just how God works. Retributive or something. I can't get it now, but right? But God is, you do something and God hits you. And so you did something and God is hitting you. And Job says, no, I trust him. Job says, the word integrity is so important in the book of Job. Why are you retaining your integrity? What is that? That's your innocent trust in God. That's your holding on to the truth. And you're holding on to God and you're holding on to faith, even though you believe that he's tormenting you. And I wanted to say to Job, man, I just wish you knew what God thought about you. I wish you knew what God said about you. And I wish you knew what was causing all this. And so Job's trying to work this out. And men are trying to help him, but they're making things worse. And do you know many times when we're facing problems and trials like this, preachers make things worse? People make things worse? Well, you know, I would just search my heart and see what you did to deserve this. That's not helpful. Not at all. Job said, you guys are miserable comforters. I wish you would just go away. And they didn't even have the thing to go away. And it says about Job, he was a wealthy man. He was, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to Job, but and he was like the Donald Trump of his day. He had everything. Okay? He was wealthy. He had 11,000 head of livestock. You can't fit that many livestock in this room. 11,000. He had this huge house. He had 10 children, and they all had their own houses. He had many servants. He was well respected. He said, when I used to walk into town, before all this happened, he said the princes would lay their hand upon their mouth. He said the honorable, they would stop. He said the young men would hide and the aged men would stand. And he said, when I spoke, the ear would hear me, the eye would see me. And it was blessed. It was blessed. He said, my righteousness was my diadem. Job, from a human standpoint, had everything that a human could have as far as material wealth, as far as respect, as far as love, as far as his children. Job had everything. And sometimes when we experience good and then we experience bad, it makes the bad worse because we remember the good. You know what Job would say? I remember when I was like in times past. When God was a light to me and he blessed me on every side and everything was good. He said, I miss those days. And so I want you to see here this morning what God said about Job. It says in verse 1 and verse 6, there was a day when the sons of men came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also. Now, the sons of God, the angels, they were there in creation, Job 38. And even the angels are accountable to God. And Satan comes also to this meeting in heaven. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth." Satan is not omnipresent. From walking up and down in it. And the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" What a statement. What a statement. Have you considered my servant Job? He said, there's a human that's not a cherubim. He's not an angel. He's just a man. And he's my servant. And he loves me. And he's better than you. And you know what? I want to talk about my servant Job. And that's what I was looking for from you. But I never got it. Did you see Job? Did you think about it? Did you think about what you did wrong because you looked at Job? And he said this about Job. Man, I want to be more than anything called God's servant, don't you? Could there be anything greater honor than he's my servant? You may have influenced everyone else. But I'll tell you what, Satan, you didn't influence Job. You may have whispered to everyone else and they may have taken your bait, but Job didn't take your bait. You're defeated. He's my servant. And he said, there's none like him. You know, that's true of every one of us. Maybe the rest is not true, but that is true. There's none like him. You know, when God made you, there's no one else like you. And there's a part of God that he put in you from his image that you're the only one that can show that part of God to the world. You just got to uncover it. You got to find it and let it shine out. He said, there's none like him. He's unique. He loves me and he serves me. But look at his testimony. A perfect and upright man. You know what? Perfect, that speaks to his character. That speaks to his standing before God. The word perfect in the Bible does not mean without fault. The word perfect means my heart is towards God, my posture is towards God, I'm following after God. Whenever he reveals to me what he wants me to do, I do it. When he reveals to me what I need to change, I change. When he shows the sin to me, I get rid of it. My heart is perfect before the Lord. I am following after God. And you know what God said about Job? Every time I tell him to do something, he does it. He's perfect. He loves me. He follows after me. And that is who Job was on the inside. And he says, and upright. Upright has to do with who he is on the outside. It has to do with his image. That's how man saw him. And that was his testimony. He knew that. He said, people looked at me this way. And you know what is amazing about this? Job was consistent. Who he appeared to be is who he really was. And whenever who we appear to be is consistent with who we are, only then are we real. And Job was real. He said, he fears me. He shuns evil. Job said, I have always kept thy ways. I have maintained your laws. I have walked in your statutes. He said, your word I have wanted more than my necessary food. He said, listen, in that day, without a Bible, Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? I will never look at a woman with lust in my heart. I made a covenant with mine eyes. And God said about Job, man, he is upright. He shuns evil. And when Satan baited the trap, Job didn't fall into it. He wasn't an opportunist. You know, many people are just sin opportunity seekers. You can see that with lust. They're going along and they see someone and they look. They're just waiting for that opportunity. Job wasn't that way. He shunned evil. Can that be said about you? Could any of these things be said about you? That was the testimony of God about Job. Now let's look what Satan thought about Job. Look at verse 9. Okay? God says to Satan, Job, he's the one, I'm telling you. He's better than you. And Satan didn't get the message, and he's arguing against it. And Satan, verse 9, answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Let me ask you, will you serve God for nothing? Job did. He said, doth he fear God for naught? He said to God, you've made a hedge about him. You've protected him and about his house. And you have blessed everything he does. And everything he does turns to gold. And his substance is increased because of you. And if you put forth your hand in verse 11 and touch all that he hath, he will curse you to your face. You know what the devil thought about Job? He said, he's only serving you because it pays well. He's only serving you because he knows you can make his life better. He's only serving you. You know who was on trial here? Not Job, it was God. You know who's on trial here? You know what the devil's saying? He said, Job doesn't really love you. He just likes that you pay him. You gave him a nice house and a family. You made him rich. I'd serve God if you did that for me too. You ever hear envy speaking? And envy says, oh, it must be nice. I'd serve God if I had a job like that or a wife like that or a family like that. I can see why he serves God. God didn't do that for me. That's a satanic thought. He's just cuffed to you with golden handcuffs. This is like telling a husband, you know, your wife only loves you because of your job. She doesn't really love you. If she had her druthers, she wouldn't be with you. You're not that good. You're not worth loving. You just have to buy the love of your wife. And you have to buy the love of your kids because you are not worthy of that love. And that's what Satan is telling God. He said if Job was homeless and he was penniless, then he would never serve you. And you know what the devil does is he tries to get you to elevate material possessions to human relationships, comfort, power, and respect as something higher than God. And if you don't have some of those things and you think that's a reflection on God and something negative about God, then you've adopted the mentality of Satan. God took my child. I hate him. I'm better than God. I would never do that. He's not loving. The accusation against Job is that he would respond the wrong way to suffering. You know that Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Look what he says in verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. You know, Satan is the god of this world. Don't forget that. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. He's mine. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You have to understand this, that Satan has certain rights in this world. He's the tempter, okay? And guess what? He tempted the first man and the first woman. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. He tempted Job. He tempted the Apostle Paul. None of us are going to go through life without these temptings and without these testings. The devil has a right to do that because of the fall. He's earned that right. And God told him a fact. All that he has is in your hand. You have the power. You have the ability to do it. So go ahead and do what you want. And if Satan ever gets his eyes on you and gets his eyes on me, he will steal. He took all of Job's substance. He will kill. He killed all of Job's kids. He will destroy. He destroyed Job's health, his reputation, and all that he had. The temptation is coming. And if Jesus was tempted, you and I will be tempted. So what was Job's response? What was Job's response? So we've talked about his confusion. We talked about what God thought about him. And so you see in verse 13 through 19, all of these bad things happen. The thieves come, the storms come, the fire falls, he loses all his servants, he loses all his substance, he loses all his animals, he loses all his kids. And then here's his response to that news in verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And I can just imagine Satan is watching this. Okay? And here's Job. All this happens, he grabs the razor. Zhoo. He rips his clothes. He's in grief and he just falls to the ground with a thud. And the devil's like, now we got him where we want him. And he gets all the demons together and they're cackling. And they watch him. And Job's lips part and he said, boys, here it comes. Here it comes. Get ready. You're about to hear cursing that will even make the demons and Satan blush. I know how this works. I've seen it in the garden. I've seen it 1,000 times. I know how man responds to suffering. And here's what he hears. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll and the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, Lord, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Amen. And that's the proper response to suffering. Many of you have lived this. You've lived it. You've came to a moment where a loved one was ripped from you. And in that moment, you fell to your knees and said, God, don't leave me. I need you now. And I need you more than ever. This is Job's response to 10 caskets. This is Job's response to his house being burnt. What is your response to the flat tires in your life? What is your response to the setbacks and the trials? The proper response should be worship and worship to God. I don't know what's going on, said Job. And I even think that God is doing this. But though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In the contest between God and Satan, God won. God won. And in the contest between God and Satan, you know what Job said? God is worthy. And he's worthy of worship, and I will serve him for nothing. I will serve God for nothing. And even if I believe that God is intentionally doing this to me, I will not give up my integrity. I will not give up my innocency. I may have questions, I may have struggles, I may have anger, but I will not give up my faith, and I will trust God. Amen. Man, and that's where we all have to come. We all have to come to that place. Because we're all going to have to face what Job faced in one way or another at some time. I was reading a book about a doctor that did palliative care for 12 years in Toronto. And palliative care is the end of life care. And he said, when these people, thousands of them, I watched and I was their doctor, they get to end of life. He said, some of them fight it. He said, but you know what many of them say to me? Dying is the best thing that ever happened to me because in dying I learned how to live. And I learned what is important. And if I only have a few days to live, these few days are more important than all the rest of my life because I finally learned how to live. Oh, man. I said, that is so encouraging. That is so encouraging. What is your response to loss? Because there's a contest that is still going on between God and Satan. And after all of the confusion and questions and all of that stuff, and you know what? A wonderful thing happened. God said, Job, you want an answer? Okay, I'll give you an answer. Turn to Job 38. God says, I'm going to help you resolve this problem. I'm going to give you a revelation that you did not have before that will help you. Because Job did not know that Satan was the cause of all his problems. Job thought it was God. And so Job, in all of these questioning, listen, if you retain your trust in God and you question God and you work things out with God and you complain to Him and you're angry at times and you allow that frustration to be told to God, Satan still did not claim victory in those things. That Job was not condemned for those things. And God doesn't condemn you for your questioning and your anguish and your wrestling with God. Satan does not win unless you give up your trust in God. Amen. And curse him. He didn't curse him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know what Job said? I know that my Redeemer liveth and will stand upon the earth in the latter day, and in my flesh I will see God, and those skin worms destroyed this body. I know that when I am tried, I will come forth as gold. Oh, I wish I could talk to God. I wish He had written a book. I would complain to Him. I would tell Him and He would answer me. And so Job gets an answer for God. And the Lord, in Job 38:1, answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is he that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee answer thou me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. He said, when all the sons of God, they sang together and shouted for joy. He said, I'm the one that created this whole world. And when I created it, they were singing and they were shouting because they said, God is so good. God is marvelous. He said in verse 9, I made the cloud garment thereof and thick darkness. Look at this, a swaddling band for it. What do you do with an infant? What do you do with an infant? You swaddle them because you love them and you want them to feel comfortable. And God put an atmosphere around this earth like a swaddling blanket to protect it from all the radiation and all that other stuff. And he said, I'm going to protect this place for man. And he said in verse 13, that it might take hold, he commanded the day that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. He said, you know what else I'm doing? I am trying to get rid of wickedness out of the earth. Look at verse 22. Have you entered into the treasures of the snow and seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against a time of trouble? He said, I'm putting treasures on this earth. I'm putting good things there to help you in the day of trouble. He said, look at verse 27, talking about the rain. He says, I've given rain to satisfy the desolate and waste ground and cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. He said, I'm so good that I even make it rain in a desolate place because I care about the tender bud and I want it to spring forth. He said in verse 31, do you know the influences of Pleiades or Orion? You ever looked out through a telescope or the night sky and seen these constellations? He said, they have an influence on the earth. Do you know what they are? The seasons and the sweet influences they have on the earth? Look at Job 38, verse 36. Who put wisdom in the inward parts and give understanding to the heart? Look what he says in verse 39. Do you feed the young lions that can't feed themselves, that sit in the dens? Look at 39:13. Who gave wings to the peacocks? And then, you know what God is saying? Job, look around you, and you need to remind yourself of this one thing. I am good. I am a God of love. I am here that supplies and helps and wants. And though this evil is on earth and I have to react to it and I have to respond to it, you don't ever forget that I am good. And I love you and I care for you. And if I will put wings on the peacocks, I will care for you. And then look what he says in 41 and verse 1. And I think this is the most important thing of the whole answer. He said, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? And if you read this, this is a picture of Satan. So you know what God is doing here? He's showing Job that he's the only one that can restrain the devil. Well, look what he says. Can you restrain the devil? Can you draw him out with a hook? Or his tongue a cord lettest thou down? And then look what he says in verse 8. Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. You know what he said to Job? Stop blaming me. Okay? Let the blame go where it belongs. Remember the battle. There's a battle between God and Satan. And he said, remember, lay your hand on him. This misery, it comes from him. And do more, no more. And you know what Job says in verse chapter 42? He answered the Lord and said, I know thou canst do everything. And no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Wherefore I have uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What was he repenting of? Blaming God for these problems and laying the blame on God. He said, I was wrong. I see you and I know that you're good. And you know what God said to his friends? He said, you guys have not said the right thing about me. I am not an angry, vengeful God. He said, Job said the right thing about me. You know what Job said about him? When I talk to him, he's going to help me. He's going to save me. He's going to redeem me. He's going to explain this to me. You can't explain it to me. You're wrong. God is not like that. He had questions. He had wrestling. But then you know what happened when he saw that? God turned the captivity of Job, and he blessed the latter end more than the beginning. And can I tell you, if you begin to believe the truth that God is good and that these troubles and these tragedies are not God being angry at you and all of these things, He'll turn your captivity and your latter end will be blessed more than the beginning. Because no matter what happens, no matter what bad thing happens, we can hit the ground and say, Lord, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. So I'm going to have the piano player come forward. We'll bow our head and close our eyes. And as you begin to pray, if you have things that you are struggling with, if you have things that you're dealing with, if you have tragedies and unexplainable things that have happened in your life, hopefully what God said to Job will help you. I'm good. Remember the battle and lay your hand on Him. Put the responsibility where it belongs. Remember what God said about Job. He's my servant. Wouldn't it have been a blessing for Job if through all those sufferings, he knew what God said about him? You and I have the advantage today of knowing what God said about him. And the altar's open. And if you want to come to the altar and say, God, I know you love me. I know you care for me. Just spend a little bit of time and talk to God in your hearts. Is there any pain there? Is there any hurt? Is there any misplaced anger? As we come to you in prayer, Lord, I just pray you would minister to the hearts of your people. People this morning that maybe they feel like Job did in this battle. There's confusion, struggling, anger, questions. God, I pray the Holy Spirit would just speak your love to them. They would feel it this morning, that you are good. And they would see you as Job did. And understand that you were wise. You're here to help. And if there's somebody here today that they're not saved, they're not born again. They haven't come to you because they blame the problems in life on you. God, help them to understand that you died for them and you shed your blood for them. And you paid for all of their sins. And you took care of all those things so they can be in a relationship with you and be perfect before you, and nothing between you and them. You made a way for them to approach you. And you're here to help them even with the sins and the crimes they've committed against you. You're still the answer. And you're not looking to hurt them, punish them. You're looking to love them through the cross of Calvary. God, please minister to people this morning.